Now, 60 years ago, it was quite a big month for music in New Zealand. We had two very big acts joining our shores. Weird way to put it, I guess. This month marks the 60th anniversary of both the Rolling Stones and the Kinks performing in New Zealand. And to have a good old yarn about them, we reminisce, we trip down memory lane. I've got the wonderful Mr. John Baker on the line with me. Good morning, John.
Oh, good morning, Liam, and good morning, Canterbury.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I had a pretty good weekend. Auckland FC won. The garden's in shape.
Oh, lovely.
Got Coffin coming this week, playing your town on Sunday.
Yes, now, just played my wee Coffin interview this morning. That'll be a bloody fun show, that one.
Oh, what a top bloke Ben is.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's awesome. Lovely guy.
Yeah, though, when he sings, he sounds like that terrible character from what's that movie where the kids park on the side of the road in Australia, that Australian horror movie.
Oh, Christ.
You'll never park on the side of the road again at night. I know I didn't.
No, I actually know what.
Wolf Creek.
Wolf Creek.
He sounds
there
like
go.
The farmer from Wolf Creek when he sings.
There we go. There we go. Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. Does that sell people to that concert or not?
Oh, who knows? But it should be a good night. But I think we should get back into what was happening 60 years ago.
Yes, yes. Now, this is big. Like, this was a busy month for New Zealand music. Two huge acts. And was this the only time either visited?
Well, no. Okay, so we've got the Rolling Stones and the Kinks on two separate tours, but they're both on what were known as package tours. So with the Kinks there was Manfred Mann, the Kinks, and the Honeycombs. You might know the Honeycombs for that song, Have I the Right? They had the wonderful woman drummer, Honey Langtree. And the Stones, Roy Orbison was headlining. The Stones were on the bill.
Roy Orbison, oh!
With the New Beats and Ray Columbus in Nevada. So, you know, that's all they sold tours back in those days.
And right.
They'd do a matinee and a late show, and, you know, the Stones would play and the Kinks would play for, you know, 25 to 30 minutes as part of that that package.
Now, what do you, let's just speculate for a moment. What do you think, a New Zealand crowd back in 1965... would have been...
Let's talk about the Stones. So, you know, in June 64, Kira Jodian had toured the Beatles and weren't prepared for what they were going to get. And then, you know, the Stones were becoming popular. Kids were reading about them in Fabulous magazine. Their first album came out in late 64, you know, Not Fade Away. And then suddenly they turn up. And their first show in New Zealand was in Christchurch at the Theatre Royal on February the 1st, and it was called the Big Beat Show of 65. But you were saying what people are expecting. I think they're expecting, and I'm saying this because last night I was talking to Mike Rudd, who was at the show, and he was in Chance R&B. Saying that the Christchurch crowd were expecting, you know, five guys in suits, and then they turn up pretty much in their streetwear, and word has it that they were wearing theatrical makeup and a little bit of eyeliner as well. Which, you know,
oh, radical.
Well, my God, it's radical in Christchurch now, believe me.
Yeah.
You can imagine what it'd been like then, you know.
Oh, God,
And I imagine they were called a bunch of, you know, unsavory name. But the Stones played, and this their first show in Christchurch. And can I just read you part of the review?
Oh, do you have it? Yeah, I'd love it.
Let me get into sophisticated blondes and ponytail brunettes in the front row threw streamers onto the stage as the boys sang Walking the Dog. Six broke bounds and rushed to the front, but five policemen moved in on them so fast that they only got close enough to see that the boys really did have shining hair and would be a good advertisement for any shampoo commercial. The Stones slithered across the stage and produced the sound that has made them famous. a sound essentially rhythm and blues, but still something that has been evolved within their own group and is distinctively their own. These boys are deliberately unconventional, and this is their biggest gimmick. They don't write reviews like that anymore.
I have to admit, I thought it was actually going to be a harsher review.
No. The crowd apparently loved them.
Good. Hell yeah.
And it happened in Auckland and happened in Wellington as well. But I tell you what is interesting is that the night after Christchurch, they went to Invercargill.
Yeah, and that's where the infamous quote happened, right?
Well, it didn't happen at the time. It happened afterwards when they were asked about Invercargill, and Keith, you know, actually said, you know, the arsehole of the world. And if I may share this, when I was touring with the White Stripes, we opened a couple of shows for the Rolling Stones, and I got to meet Keith, and I went up to him and just, you know, I said one word, Invercargill, and he just looked at me and said, the arsehole of the world.
Oh, my God.
and then Charlie actually chimed in and said, and I remember him because he was wearing this beautiful cardigan, but he said, do they still have hitching posts in the main street of Invercargill?
I'm not sure there are now, but there was still a couple, like, not even that long ago.
I believe so. Maybe for historical purposes. I think there was one in Parnell in Auckland up until about 20 years ago.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah, up near the church at the top of the hill there.
So it's not technically the anniversary of the quote, but it's the anniversary of the inspiration for the quote.
True. Well, my friend Dave Hogan, who went on to form the Unknown Blues, as a schoolboy, met the Stones when they arrived in Invercargill and then saw them later in the day. And Keith Richards actually said to him, how the fuck do you live here?
Wow, he really, really was not sold on the place, was he?
Well, you know, they'd already done two tours of America, various tours of the UK, and then to be sent down here and, you know, sold at probably a modest rate by their agent.
Yes.
To tour down here for a promoter called Harry M. Miller, and who like to keep an eye on costs, shall we say. And, you know, hotels were
right,
what they were used
right.
to.
Okay.
Probably not as sophisticated as what the Stones had been used to. But, you know, they didn't stop them from coming back the next year.
Now, you very casually dropped there that you had met the Rolling Stones. Insanely casual as well. Screw you for that one. That was just, like, way too humble, I think. Did they talk about the tour? Did they enjoy it? Like, do they like New Zealand?
Well, I didn't hang out with them. I tell you what happened was it was the second show. We did two shows, and they like to meet the band that's open for them.
Well, that's at least nice.
Basically, it was this lounge. I asked Ron about when he was in this band called The Birds, which was his first band in 64, and he said, Keith, this guy just asked me about the Birds.
And
it's not the American Birds, it's the cooler English Birds, which, go and look it up on YouTube. And, and actually, one of the members of the Birds, his daughter, now plays actually in Pink's band on bass.
Really? Huh.
Yeah.
Well,
I
there you go.
I got to meet her last year, and she loves talking about her dad and his time in the Birds. But they didn't really, you know, didn't wax lyrical about Invercargill, small talk. And then I remember Jagger came in, had a photo taken with him, and he actually said, let's get to work. And they all went off and got on stage and did their show in Columbus, Ohio, I think it was.
Wow. Now, yeah. The Kinks as well. What was this a couple of weeks later or something?
Nah, same week. Can you believe
that? Wow. Oh, my God. It was. There was collectively at one point, there was probably, like, quite a few famous musicians in New Zealand.
True. So Monday, 1st of Feb, is the first show of the Rolling Stones in New Zealand. And then later that week, on Thursday, the 4th of February, the Kinks, on their Swinging 65 tour, are playing at the Majestic Theatre. And this
wow.
was Kira Jodian tour, and Kira Jodian had promoted the Beatles, you know, in June 64 and had fantastic success with that. But what's really interesting is the Kinks did two shows, but their earlier show, the PA, which in those days was just the house PA with some mics, basically it stopped working. They couldn't get it fixed. So they had to offer either people a refund or invite them to the Cilla Black show the next month. Yeah. So, the second show, they were able to fix the PA, and, the Kinks, Man for Man, the Honeycombs, that's a pretty impressive bill. But, I've been following my clippings from the Kinks, and what's kind of interesting is that they were quite surly on their arrival, and Pete Quaife, when he arrived in Auckland, bemoaned the fact that he wasn't allowed to bring in his collection of bacteria, which I thought was hilarious.
Why would he take that on tour?
I have no idea. I've got his quote here. Let me see if I can find his quote. Pete Quaife of the Kinks bemoaned the Agricultural Department confiscation of his microscope slides. He is interested in bacteriology. There are only a few diseases, he said. Dysentery, cholera, typhoid. The microbes were all dead.
Why did he have all that? That's insane.
I think that's just called good old-fashioned publicity.
Right. Hey, yeah,
and of course, you've got these long-haired artists coming here, and the local press and scribes are going to, take anything they say as gospel.
Oh, hey, yeah. The long-haired, makeup-wearing artists, and, they mention they've got deadly diseases with them as well. I mean, that's going to get a headline, isn't it?
Well, in Wellington, there's this amazing photo of them arriving, and my goodness, they look exhausted. And it opens with, long hair is a disadvantage in hot weather, but I live in a cold climate, so it's all right, says Dave Davis, whose long hair makes him the most distinctive member of the Kinks.
Yeah, and I suppose, I'm guessing, 60s summers in New Zealand, they're probably pretty hot, were they?
Oh, pretty hot. I mean, they're coming from the Northern Hemisphere. They've probably just had a white Christmas. It's miserable.
They can't wait
to get here. And, there's photos of the Stones on that tour sitting beside a pool. And I know Bill Wyman took a day trip to Rotorua and probably did some other things that Bill Wyman did many times on his tours, keeping records off. I'm sure he was no stranger to that in Rotorua.
Now, I know to a lot of foreigners, though, Rotorua is quite an odd place.
Yeah, well, obviously the aroma gets you when you first get there. I've always loved it myself, but, taking visitors there.
Oh, do you? Oh, yeah. You're a strange man.
What's wrong with a bit of sulfur?
Nah, it's just not a particularly lovely smell, if you ask me. But
I think once you get used to it, Rotorua people don't complain.
No, I suppose they're probably used to it though.
Yeah, true. But the amazing thing about the Kinks is All Day and All of the Night had been released in late '64, and then I forgot Tired of Waiting for You was released in England just before they came, and those are two bangers. On the back of You Really
Got
Me as well.
Songs,
yeah. And but they were kind of pioneering the kind of the use of tough, playing guitars in a tough style that hadn't really been played before, and especially not locally neither.
Yeah. I'm sure. How much do you think it kind of do you think it probably their presence had an effect on the music, created here in New Zealand?
Oh, totally. Well, I spoke to Mike Rudd from Chance R&B, who are one of the toughest garage bands from the mid-60s, worldwide. And they were Kinks fans, and they were Rolling Stones fans.
Yeah, right.
Definitely had an effect on them. And let's also not forget that Ray Columbus and the Invaders from Christchurch were on the Rolling Stones tour. And, coming back to Christchurch in early '65, they hadn't been there for a while because they'd been up in Auckland and in Australia, and it was kind of almost a homecoming show for them.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I suppose it would have been.
But also on the Stones show, there was a local band called the Detours opened as well.
And
I'm not sure how they got on that, but, maybe one of the listeners will chime in, but that would have been a pretty impressive bill. And then, you know, 3 days later, you get to see the Kinks. And they're doing You Really Got Me and All Day and All the Night. I don't know if they're tired of waiting for you, but, you know, reports from the Times said that they were wearing their kind of Victorian, those wonderful red Victorian jackets with the
yeah, right. Colors. I wondered if they were.
Well, you know, kinky in all aspects, I imagine.
Hey, yeah, may as well, right? Commit to the name.
Yeah. You know, and what better place to get kinky than Christchurch?
Oh, I tell you what, Christchurch, capital of kink. Oh. Honestly, you walk down the footpath and it's so sticky, it's disgusting, honestly.
Well, I know every time I go to Christchurch and walk down a footpath, and I might have said this to you before, I get uncomplimentary comments, usually from some youths passing in the car.
Oh, never really? Failed. Really?
Yeah. Keep it up, Christchurch.
I'll
be there on Sunday with Coffin. Try saying that to them.
Oh, yeah. No, they wouldn't take that shit. I've been watching their music videos. They're scary looking.
Now, nice boys.
Here's a question for you. Who do you think perhaps has maybe had the bigger legacy in New Zealand? So, I mean, this is a hard thing to answer, but, you know, who do you think's probably been played more in New Zealand across the years, the Kinks or the Rolling Stones?
Probably the Stones. I mean, you think most kids who are wearing a Rolling Stones shirt today, they'll be able to say Satisfaction, Jumping Jack Flash. You mentioned the Kinks, they'll probably pause, but, you know, it's so ingrained. Yeah. And the Stones have been here, back here, what, 66, 73, 94, 2006, 2014. They might have been back another time. The Kinks never came back.
Yeah, wow, they have come, like, quite a number of times, haven't they?
True. But, you know, both are staples of what used to be known as oldies radio. I mean, God, does oldies radio still exist in Christchurch?
This is basically it.
Well, it does right now. You and I are talking about something that happened 60 years ago.
Yeah, we're oldies radio right now.
Yeah, well, I'm an old. Well, you know, I was actually born in the 60s. When were you born?
Well, there's a 6 in there, but it's 96. Yeah.
But, you know, oldies radio doesn't play 50s, 60s stuff anymore because those people don't listen to the radio. You know, now it's all 70s and 80s. But the Stones, you know, they're out touring again this year. Everyone's waiting for the Kinks to, you know, for Ray and Dave to patch it up. But I think that ship has long since sailed.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So definitely the Stones to answer that.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, what a bloody good time they must have been. And, like, I'm still, like, shocked about they compensated people who couldn't go to the Kinks by giving them Cilla Black tickets.
Well, yeah.
I just think that's brilliant.
Cilla's a great singer.
And yeah.
That was another package bill. I can't tell you who else was on that tour, but, okay, you probably get to see the Kinks, Manfred Mann, without a vocal PA, and then the next month you get to see Cilla Black, but, you know, there's a lot of good stuff happening in the 65, 66.
Yeah,
and going through Christchurch too. But, you know, Christchurch was a hotbed of talent and soaked all that stuff up. And later in the year, we'll talk about the Pretty Things visit to Christchurch in 65, shall we?
Oh, yeah, more of them. Nah, I love these yarns. I get a little jealous because obviously, like, I could have never experienced this, but it would have been very, very cool, obviously. John, this has been absolute pleasure. Thank you so very much.
Me too, Liam. It's always lovely talking to you, on or off air.
Oh, bless you.
Closed or unclosed?
Closed or unclosed. I know.
It was too humid down there.
Yeah. Either you're sweaty or I'm clammy usually when we have a conversation, honestly.
Well, hey, I'm sure, you know, with the absence of air conditioning at those concerts we talked about, they were probably clammy themselves.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they were. Ugh. Right. Well, I must let you go, John. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Thank you so much for joining me. Don't strain yourself too much today, though.
No, I've got lots on. Hey, am I going to see you on Saturday, on Sunday? Or do you have an early night on Sunday in preparation for your week of broadcasting?
Well, it depends how hard I go on the weekend. We shall see. We shall see. On that note, have a great day.
Thank you, Liam.